ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Svayam samuthir yasudu staram duman bhavarnavam bi mamada brasorada bhavat padam boruhana vamatrate nidaya yatha sadanugraho bhavan Svayam samuthir yasudu staram duman Bhavarnavam bi mamada brasorada Bhavat padam boruhana vamatrate Nidaya yatha sadanugraho bhavan Translation. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desires of your devotee. And therefore you are known as a desired tree, Panchakalpa Taru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet, in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. This statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teachings to Rupa Goswami said, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. One can achieve the seed of bhakti lata, devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of the Guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. After wandering throughout the universe, a fortunate person within this material world seeks shelter of such a guru or acharya, who trains the devotee in the suitable ways to render service according to the circumstances, so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will accept the service. This makes it easier for the candidate to reach the ultimate destination. The acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus it is the duty of the acharya to publish books that will help future candidates to take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, the same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities: illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instruction. Because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible, one should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. Krishna will help a devotee who strictly follows the regulated principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The Acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nations by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya Vini Haye Mantraste Nishpala Mata, Padma Purana. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya. Otherwise, one's endeavor will be futile. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Tandeya Charana Sevi Bhakta Sane Vas, Janame Janame Hai E Abhilas. One must first worship the lotus feet of the Acharya and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over nations will surely be successful. Hare Krishna. So this verse and purport are very significant. They describe how the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the bona fide Acharya work together to deliver the fallen souls. And in our case specifically, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, they give us a sense of how Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna are working together to deliver us and future generations of devotees under their protection. Brahmanda Bhamite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Bhakti Bij. One receives the seed of devotional service by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna. What is the seed of devotional service? In his purports to these verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains that the seed is the initial idea of something. The Bhakti Lata Bij in particular is the methods, the rules and regulations by which one engages in devotional service. The bona fide spiritual master follows the method of devotional service that he received from his spiritual master, and thus he crosses the ocean of birth and death by taking shelter of the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. But he also leaves the same boat for us to take across the ocean, in the form of his instructions on how to surrender to Krishna and engage in devotional service. And Lord Krishna, out of love for the Acharya and out of compassion for the fallen souls, accepts the method that the Acharya leaves. And thus he accepts the service rendered by the followers of the Acharya. The basic instructions are given in scripture, but the Acharya, especially the founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, adjusts the instructions so that they become suitable according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate. And because the Acharya is representing Krishna, Krishna accepts the instructions or the method or the commitments that the Acharya makes. When I first joined, I was told that the spiritual master is like the representative of a company, of a business organization. That when the representative enters into an agreement with the party, the company must honor the agreement. Even if the proprietor of the company does not like the terms of the agreement. Now, when I first heard the example, I was struck by it, because I had understood that the spiritual master or the pure devotee acts only as Krishna directs him to act. So how could he enter into an agreement or make a commitment that the Supreme Lord would not like? But as I read and engaged in devotional service, I came to understand that there's spiritual individuality, that Krishna is an individual. Lord Balaram is an individual. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an individual. Lord Nityananda is an individual. Srila Prabhupada is an individual. All of our acharyas are individual. Every living entity is unique and individual. So the acharya follows the general instruction of Krishna. Amara gyai guru hai tare desh, yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh. That wherever you go, whomever you meet, you repeat the message of Krishna and deliver the people in the land. But when it comes to bestowing mercy, the devotee has his free will to decide upon whom he wants to bestow his mercy. And it may happen that the spiritual master or pure devotee wants to give mercy to some fallen soul that Krishna, on his own accord, would not have accepted. But because the pure devotee has chosen to give mercy to that soul, and because Krishna is so affectionate to his pure devotee, he will accept the devotee's decision to give mercy to a particular fallen soul. Now, the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more merciful even than the mood of Lord Krishna himself. That is just his nature. And Srila Prabhupada is in the same mood of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. But in a way, he's even more merciful. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda delivered one pair of Jagai and Madhai. But Srila Prabhupada accepted so many Jagais and Madhais. Although it was Lord Chaitanya's desire and prediction that the holy name would be spread all over the world, it was actually Srila Prabhupada who left India and took the holy name all over the world. So by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, the empowered acharya can do things that even Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda did not do personally themselves. Now here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions some essential basic instructions that he has given for every member of the Krishna Consciousness Society. Namely, to follow the four regulative principles, to avoid the four pillars of sinful life, and to chant at least 16 rounds daily. And Srila Prabhupada says, these are bona fide instructions. They are bona fide because they are coming in pursuance of the statements of scripture and of the previous acharyas. But they have also been given by Srila Prabhupada with due consideration to time, circumstances, and candidate. And Srila Prabhupada has assured us that if we chant 16 rounds daily and follow the four principles and do our best to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, in the end, we will go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada has made that promise. And in fact, he says the same thing in the purport we just read. And Krishna will uphold Srila Prabhupada's... There's a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, declare it boldly that my devotee will never perish. The question may be raised, why did Krishna tell Arjuna to declare it? Why did he not declare it himself? The answer is that sometimes, for the sake of his devotee, Krishna will break his own promise. But also for the sake of his devotee, he will never allow his devotee's word to be broken. He will always uphold the word of his devotee. One famous example is that of Grandfather Bhishma. Duryodhana, the head of the Kauravas, challenged Bhishma Dev that he was not fighting to his capacity in the Battle of Kurukshetra because of his affection for the Pandavas. And in terms of Kshatriya codes of honor, that was a great challenge. Grandfather Bhishma accepted the challenge, and he said that I will fight so fiercely in the battle tomorrow that either I will kill Krishna's friend Arjuna, or Krishna will be forced to break his promise not to take up arms in the battle. And it so happened that Bhishma fought with such heroic strength that Arjuna was actually in trouble. And Krishna, who had given his assurance that he would only drive the chariot of Arjuna and not participate in the fighting, he took up a broken chariot wheel as a weapon and rushed towards Grandfather Bhishma as if to kill him. So for the sake of protecting his devotee Arjuna, and also for the sake of upholding the word of his devotee Bhishma Dev, Krishna broke his own promise not to take part in the fighting directly. So Srila Prabhupada, following the revealed scriptures and the previous acharyas, has made adjustments in the presentation of the methods of devotional service. And he has assured us that if we follow the instructions, chanting 16 rounds and following the regulative principles, at the end of this life, we can go back home, back to Godhead. And Krishna, out of his love for Srila Prabhupada and his compassion for Srila Prabhupada's followers, has accepted that method. In the past so many years since Srila Prabhupada began the movement, many of his disciples and grand disciples have left their bodies, and other devotees who have been close to them and who have been attending to them in their last days have seen how many of them reached exalted states of consciousness. And some of them are convinced that these devotees have indeed gone back home, back to Godhead. At the recent opening of the hospice in Vrindavan, one devotee named Janmastami Das spoke about another devotee named Nirguna Prabhu, whom he had served during. Nirguna appeared to be a regular devotee, like so many devotees in his time. He did his best to serve Srila Prabhupada and to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, but he also had his struggles like other devotees. He had his ups and downs. But in his last years or months, he became completely surrendered and purified. And in the end, according to the testimony of Janmastami Prabhu and others, based on what Nirguna Prabhu himself said, he was ready to go, but he was waiting to be invited. And then, after some days, the invitation came, and Nirguna Prabhu left. And Janmastami Prabhu takes this example as proof of Srila Prabhupada's promise to us that if we chant 16 rounds and follow the four principles and do our best to serve the Sankirtan movement, we can go back to Godhead in the same lifetime. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And as stated in the verse, this is the acharya, this is the method that the acharya has given us, and because Krishna is merciful to the acharya and to the followers of the acharya, he accepts the method. And thus the candidate who is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, can cross the fierce ocean of nations and attain to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai, and Sri Sri Radha Govinda, their associates. Now, having heard His Holiness Niranjan Swami's beautiful offering to Srila Prabhupada, I thought to share with you an exchange that Srila Prabhupada had with one of his disciples in Calcutta that highlights some of the same points that Niranjan Swami made in his offering, that Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami made in his presentation, and that Srila Prabhupada himself made in today's purport. In Calcutta, we were staying in a house which we still occupy, 3 Albert Road. And Achyutananda Swami, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, happened to meet the landlord, who was a Bengali gentleman named Mr. Roy. And Mr. Roy had some ideas about Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna, which he shared with Achyutananda Swami. So Achyutananda Swami was not sure what the actual philosophy was, and so he brought up the topic with Srila Prabhupada. He said that Mr. Roy had told him that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the origin of Radha and Krishna, and that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was greater than Radha and Krishna. So Achyutananda asked Srila Prabhupada. Mr. Roy had said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is greater than Radha and Krishna just like Rasgulla is greater than milk and sugar. So Srila Prabhupada, so he asked, well, who actually comes first? And Srila Prabhupada replied that Radha and Krishna come first. And he said the same example, that first the milk and sugar exist, and then they become Rasgulla. And then Achyutananda asked, well, who is greater? And Srila Prabhupada paused for a moment, and then he said, Radharani. Radharani is the great. And he pointed to a picture that he had on his wall, in which Radharani is seated on an elevated platform looking down, and Krishna is kneeling at her feet, begging her to accept him. So Srila Prabhupada pointed the picture and said, Radharani is the greatest. Then he pointed to another picture in which Krishna was carrying Nanda Maharaj's shoes on his head. And he said, Nanda Maharaj is the greatest, because Krishna is carrying his shoes on his head. And then Srila Prabhupada said, the devotee is the greatest, because Krishna likes to come under the control of his devotees. So this beautiful, loving reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees is visible in the spiritual sky, in his loving pastimes with his devotees in Vrindavan, but it's also manifest in his loving reciprocation with his pure devotees in the material world, who work ceaselessly, or as the verse says, incessantly, to reclaim the fallen souls. I'll tell another story, also from Calcutta. I don't know how much it has to do with the philosophy, but it definitely has to do with Srila Prabhupada and with Rasgullas. When I came to Srila Prabhupada, my parents, of course, had other plans for me, and they were very distressed that I had given up my material life to serve Srila Prabhupada. And they were determined to get me back. So when, after serving Srila Prabhupada in Boston for about a year and a half, I eventually went to India, my parents followed me to India to try to get me back. So they came to Calcutta and met Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was very expert in the way he spoke to my parents, and especially my father, because my father, you know, was a lawyer. He later became a judge, and he knew big people in the material world. Not as big and famous as Elvis Presley, but he did write. He did write speeches for a presidential candidate in the state of Illinois.
He's a Shtada.
Named Adlai Stevenson. Srila Prabhupada started to tell my father about the big people he had known in India, that Motilal Nehru, who was the father of Jawaharlal Nehru, who became the first Prime Minister of India, had been his customer at his pharmaceutical shop in Allahabad. And he said that both the father and the son were the type of people who, if something was made in England and it cost 10 times more than the same thing from India, they would pay 10 times the price to get it with the label made in England. So in an indirect way, Srila Prabhupada was saying that they were fools. But he was also, in an indirect way, attacking people's prejudices against India in favor of, you know, England or America or so-called civilized nations of the West. Then he said that Motilal Nehru would complain to him that his son Jawaharlal was useless, and that because he was so useless, he encouraged him to join Mahatma Gandhi's freedom movement, thinking he could get him out of the way and at the same time get the credit for giving one son to the freedom movement. So again, Srila Prabhupada was attacking our illusory impressions that big people in the material world are great men. They may be very ordinary people who somehow get into big positions. Then Srila Prabhupada told my father that an astrologer had predicted that he, Srila Prabhupada, would become the wealthiest man in India. Because that was also a tendency of my father to be impressed if someone had a lot of money. In reality, Srila Prabhupada became more wealthy than the wealthiest man in India then. Because Srila Prabhupada eventually had 100 homes all over the world, which even the wealthiest man in India didn't have. And not only that, he had thousands of servants, and he had English and American servants. He said that when Jawaharlal Nehru was in England, at great expense, he hired a British servant for the prestige of having a British servant. And Srila Prabhupada had hundreds and thousands of European and American servants, and he didn't have to pay them anything. They worked completely free of charge, and they wanted to do more service. So not even the richest man in the world had such opulence as Srila Prabhupada. But of course, he was detached. He was attached only to Krishna's service. And as stated in the beautiful verses that His Holiness Varanjan Swami read, Krishna gives himself to such a pure devotee. Finally, Srila Prabhupada asked the other devotees who were in the room to leave so that he could speak to my parents and me. And then my father said that he wanted to create a trust for me with $1 million in it. And $1 million then, 40 years ago, was a lot more than it is now, and maybe 50 million. But my father wanted me to come to America, in his words, to sign the documents. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you can make the trust, and you can send the papers here, and your son will sign. So then my mother brought up her concerns, and her main concern was that my health was not good in India, and they thought I was not getting enough protein. Because in those days, people had the idea, if you don't eat meat, you won't get enough protein. And it's true, I had lost weight, she asked, you know, if I could come back to America. And Srila Prabhupada said that now it is October and I'm here in India. And as long as I'm here, I will take personal care of your son. And then when I come to America in April, I will bring your son with me. Then I said, actually, Srila Prabhupada is very intelligent. Because when it's cold and nasty in the West, it's pleasant in India. So he stays in India then. And then when it gets too hot in India, and it's more pleasant in the West, he goes to the West. And my father started getting enlightened. And he said, yes, your master is very intelligent. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, your son is intelligent because he has understood my motives. In other words, his motive to be in good weather all the time. But then my father said, no, he said to Prabhupada, no, you are very intelligent. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, I guess I must be intelligent. Otherwise, how could I attract so many intelligent young men like your son? So my father was becoming, you know, very inspired by Srila Prabhupada. But my mother, seeing the direction that the discussion was going, started to cry. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to cheer her up. So he had a container of sweets on his table that he would give as prasad to visitors. So he had either rasgulla or sandesh, or both. So, actually, the only other person in the room was his sister, Pishima. So he had Pishima put the sweets in my mother's hand. So Pishima was loading up my mother's hand with sweets. And Srila Prabhupada said that these sweets are made of cheese, paneer, chana, and they're full of protein. And then he turned to me and he said, you must eat 2 dozen rasgulla and sandesh every day. So in this way he tried to pacify my parents. And after the meeting, my father was very enlivened. And as we left the room, my father commented to me, I will say 2 things about your master. 1, he's a brilliant organizer. And 2, he really knows how to deal with people. And in my father's system of values, those were very high at the top of the list. So from Calcutta, I went to Madras. And in Madras, I was doing a lot of preaching. We didn't have our own center. And I was staying at different families' homes. And they were feeding me very good prasad. And I put on a lot of weight. So Srila Prabhupada said, I should get a picture taken of myself and send it to my mother. So we can see how loving and caring Srila Prabhupada was. Although he was leading the Krishna consciousness movement and spreading it all over the world, and he was writing volumes of books that he said would be the law books for humanity for the next 10,000 years. And he was making disciples, training disciples, engaging disciples, opening temples and schools and farms, and inspiring the translation of his books and distribution of his books. He was doing so many big things for his Guru Maharaj and Krishna. But at the same time, he took very personal care of individual people. Once, again, the same period in Calcutta, Prabhupada's disciple Dravida, who later became Pancha Dravida Swami, he approached Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was taking his massage on the balcony, and Dravida Prabhu took the opportunity to come close to him and speak with him. So Dravida was complaining that when he joined, the movement was much smaller, but now that the movement is so big, it's hard for him to approach Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, "What is the difficulty? You're sitting here and I'm sitting here and we're talking to each other." He said, "ISKCON may be very big, but I'm still very small." And Dravida Prabhu actually sort of extended the question to Krishna indirectly. He said that Krishna has so many other servants. Why would it matter to him if we serve him or not? And Srila Prabhupada replied, I have 10 fingers. Now, if one of my fingers hurts, and someone says, "Well, you have 9 other fingers, what difference does it make if you have the 10th? Is that a very good proposal?" So again, in a very simple way, Srila Prabhupada expressed a very profound truth, that we are all part and parcel of Krishna. We're all eternally related to him. And he wants all of us to be connected to him. He doesn't want any of us to suffer in a diseased condition. And as Srila Prabhupada said, in Krishna consciousness, every soul is important. So Srila Prabhupada took personal care of each and every soul who came to his protection, because he protected them through his instructions, through his books, through his society, through everything that he gave us. And now we have all gathered here as recipients of Srila Prabhupada's. And as such, we all have a great debt to Srila Prabhupada. And of course, we can never repay our debt, but we should have the attitude that we want to repay our debt to him. And the way we can try to repay our debt to him is to share with others the great gifts that we have received from him, the knowledge and the methods of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada's transcendental family will increase, and all the Vaishnavas will be happy. So I'm happy to see this part of Srila Prabhupada's family here in Kazakhstan. It's a very special branch of the Prabhupada limb of the Chaitanya tree. And I'm very grateful to my dear friend, His Holiness Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Swami, for inviting me here to be with you at this special time. And I'm sure that we will remain together in service to Srila Prabhupada for a long time to come. In fact, in principle, eternally. Once you've surrendered to Srila Prabhupada and through him to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will never lose track of you. Srila Prabhupada said, if you come to the temple and you just turn one screw in the temple as service, Krishna will never forget your service, and he will always keep track of you. So our service is eternal. Everything about Krishna consciousness is eternal. And our relationships are also eternal. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.